waiting for you. Get your ass right here. Have a seat. Look at them. They sneak up there so I can't even hug them. You heard that Virginia is hugging. We don't want no hugs from her.
I'm sorry.
Yay!
Kevin.
Okay, it's 22 on my watch. Everybody ready? Let's have a meeting. Welcome to the Laurel Mountain Highlands area of Narcotics Anonymous 5th Annual Unity Retreat. We would like you to join us in celebrating the recovery and fellowship that we have come to know, need, and deserve in our lives. We encourage you to share in our NA Unity through your experience, strength, and hope in our wide variety of workshops. This is an open retreat. All are welcome to attend. However, we ask that only addicts share in the workshop. In accordance with our seventh tradition, we are fully self-supporting. Thank you for registering. We should remember that our actions this weekend are a direct reflection on Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. Let's carry the NA message, not the mess. What is the message? Are we supposed to have somebody come down and read? What is the message? I am. Sorry. I haven't been in it. What is the NA message? Our message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way of life. Our message is hope and the promise of freedom. When all is said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry the message to the addict that still suffers, because that is all we have to give. But no addict anywhere need die from the horrors of addiction. Basic text, page 65. The NA way. In Narcotics Anonymous, we are presented with a dilemma. When NA members identify themselves as addicts and alcoholics, cross addicts, or talk about living clean and sober, the clarity of the NA message is blurred. To speak in this manner suggests that there are two diseases. The one drug is separate from the rest. Narcotics Anonymous makes no distinction between drugs. Identification as addicts is all-inclusive, allowing us to concentrate on our similarities, not our differences. To the press, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. If any member of the press are present, please come to the registration table where you will be referred to our public information chairperson. We respectfully ask that no pictures be taken during the Unity Retreat by the press. If any NA members are approached by the press, please refer to them to the registration table. Remember, no person represents NA. Please do not attempt to represent NA through the press alone. Thank you. Please observe no smoking in all buildings. Okay, hello everyone. I am an addict and my name is Virginia.
Yeah.
Welcome to this workshop entitled Recovery and Relapse. Will you please help me open with a moment of silence to the addict who still suffers, followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant us the serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. So we have the reading of We Do Recover. At the podium.
Hi, everyone. My name's Amy, and I'm an addict.
Okay.
Hi. We do recover. When at the end of the road, we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best as we can to the bitter end, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
You're welcome. At this time, I'd like to introduce the first speaker. His name is Herb. He is from the Monday Night Miracles group of NA. And what area is that, Herb?
Meadville
area.
Woo! Hurt! Turn it up!
I'm Herb, and I'm an addict. And my clean date is October 5th of 1999. And when I was in the, I like to just share this quick story real quick. When I was in the rehab, I was one of the counselors. They do these little like these little projects with you to like get you started, to start coming to meetings and getting knowing people. And, you know, and asking questions. So you like, you ain't doing this by yourself. And one of these projects that they had up there was they took a nail, and it was a nail hammered in a little short 2x4, and it had 11 nails. And they had one section of people over here and another section of people over here. And they said, as a whole group, you guys figure out how can you get them 11 nails on this one nail. And with me being with the egotistical person that I am, with this genius mind that I have, I thought I had it all figured out. And like today I know that like right then and there, that ain't how this thing works. And like the one group of section of people, they all got together and they was fumbling with the nails, and you know, like we was over there fumbling with the nails, and I was like half-assed participant. You know, I thought, well, I know how to do it. It's just if they just give me the 2x4 and the 11 nails, I can show them how to put them all on this one nail. So the first section, they figured it out, and I didn't even go over there and look at it or nothing and see like how our section could try to figure it out. And then finally, our section figured it out. And the nails, all 11 nails was on the one nail. Well, I was still being kind of like rude and obnoxious to where I took the 2x4 and like sat way over in this corner, and every nail got this little tip head on the top of it. And I thought I could set 11 nails on one head of this nail. And I'll never forget the counselor said, "Sir, just look at yourself over there, just being obsessive with trying to do this, and you already got it, you guys as a group figured it out." You know, and that was my, like, relapse mode in my mind. I'm good with that. I can honestly say today, I could be the quickest person to know how to go out and relapse very, very quickly. Because it happens all up here, that I know it all, everything. If it ain't a way, I'll figure it out. And like, today, I know it ain't like that. You know, like, it's an honor and a blessing to be here. Because I once knew where I was once was. And like, my sponsor sit up there, and my grand sponsor sits up there, and my sponsor brothers, they all sit up there, and like when I'm going through something, when I'm staring at a meeting or something, you know, like they pull me on my shit and they say, "Hey man, come here. You know what? We know. I've been through that. I know how to help you out." And I ain't used to nothing like that, because like I'm used to this was my pattern before October 5th of 1999. My pattern consists of this: take your ass to jail. Go to the rehab, get on probation, stay clean for maybe a month. That ain't recovering, that's staying clean, white knuckling it, and not, you know, listening to the rules and regulations that the probation department, you know, set out for you. Go back to jail, get back on probation, go to the rehab, get out, white knuckle it. Go back to jail, go to the rehab, get out, white knuckle. Go back to jail. The jail, the jail, the jail, the jail. Today, you know what? I'm so grateful to jail is a shame, because it saved my life. By continuously just keep doing that and doing it, I could never thought I would ever sit up here, stand anywhere in front of anybody, even with myself or to the God of my understanding, and say, "I'm grateful for the probation department. Them folks put me in jail, and you know what my disease would say immediately? I'm black. That's why y'all messing with me." You won't let me kill myself slowly but surely, and you just messing with me. Just let me get high. And they weren't doing nothing but their job. And just doing that over and over and over and over again. And like I was on this violation. And I had to serve 10 months. And like a month before I got out, they served me 3 counts of possession with the intent to deliver charges. With a $150,000 bond. $150,000. Lord Jesus, I don't even know if I can count that high. I can barely repeat that number. And like this police officer, he came into the jail and he said to me, he said, "Herb, I got to be honest with you." He said, "We told our confidential informant, do not give that man any money right there and standing on that porch, because you're not going to get the dope and you might not get the money back." They knew the pattern of my continuously using drugs that they, you know, and I thought I was just like slip, hip, and cool and like lost 150 pounds and I'm all right. Well, he came to me and he said, "If you get honest, you can save your ass. And it only takes you to get honest." And I think that's when the recovery process began. When I said to myself, "You know what? The dope man always gave me a McNiblet. He didn't even want my money sometimes because he knew I had some shit to come with it and sent me away at 3 o'clock in the morning when I really needed it bad. And the dope man was like a relative, a cousin of mine." And this continued. Like I keep saying, I keep going to jail, and every time I would go to this same dope man, and you know, they talk about me, and I beat myself down. I lowered myself to like standards of beyond recognition. You know, "I'd clean your house, I'd mop your floor, just give me a McNiblet." I thought about all that stuff and I said, "You know what?" And they tried to contact me in jail and said, "Well, we'll do anything for you, just don't say nothing." I got on it. And when it was time to go to court, you know, like they said, "Well, whose dope was it?" And I stood up there in the courtroom and I said, "It was her." "Wasn't my dope." And when I did that, when I got honestly and did that, the police officer, the district attorney, they all came to the judge's chambers and they said, "You know what? This guy has got honest and he's been clean. And like, if any jail time, give him very little." And they gave me a $1,000 fine and 1 year probation. And that was because the police officer suggested that I go to a rehab, and the rehab suggested that I go to some meetings and start learning how to recover. And so I did that. And at first, only thing I did was I just showed up. I just came. I just came and I just kept coming. And I would stand up and I would share sometimes, and I would take the meeting hostage, share for 15, 20 minutes. I was frustrated. I was confused. I was angered. I didn't know how this shit worked, but I just knew that you did something in the similarities that what you was doing right now, it could help me. And I did that. I showed up. And like people saw me showing up on a continuously. The basic text says, show up rigorously. Show up continuously. You know? And I did that. And like, the process of recovery started to just like unfold in my life. You know? Like when I shared at the podium, someone would call me on my shit. You know, I have a big problem with flirting.
No.
Yeah. Yes, I do. Because when I gain a little 45, 50 pounds and get some new threads, man, you can't tell me nothing. It's that jack. You know? And like that is the repeated thinking pattern of the relapse mode. And like I talk with my sponsor about it, I talk with a recovering friend and my grand sponsor, you know, and like they say, you know, like pray about it. And like just don't do it. You ain't got to go there. I talked with my sponsors yesterday about for the first time and I don't know how long. And it was just something that was for me that was like stupidity. A relapse mode. I thought because a black male that was never dominant in my life, I could never ever let him know everything inside of me. I would just be so ashamed, and like I was more of being open with a Caucasian male. And I told a Caucasian male this, and he looked at me and he said, you know what? Your sponsor will understand that. Just tell him. Just say it. And I did, and he understood it. He said, yeah, I understand. And I kept that in for so long, thinking, nah, man, he said he ain't gonna like me, but he don't think I'm just crazy or something. But it wasn't like that. He understood that. You know, with my history and my background, he understood that. And that was just a relief valve to be able to get some recovery. That I opened up, and that said, I got some recovery from that. You know? I talked about another thing, and it was intimacy. I don't know nothing about intimacy. Nothing. You know, I know how to just be there. That's it. But the fondle and the hold and the cuddle and to ask you for this and see if you need that and all of that, I ain't got no clue about it. Because that's what my repeated relapse mode kept me in. You know, just coming and going. Go as I want, come as I please. You know? And I talked with a recovering person about that, and he said, women are just, they're so precious and gentle, you know, and like, I'm in a relationship, and you know, like, he said to me, you know, like, I asked that woman, are you all right today? Rub her hair. Rub her feet. Do those types of things, you know, in my relationship. And it'll get better. You know? But like last night when Mike was the main speaker, he was here, and then the one guy, he asked everybody to hug three people, and then Mike asked everybody to hug three people. You know, after Mike had asked three people, you know what? I can remember being around a bonfire somewhere where somebody's ass jumped in the fire. And like there wasn't nobody who fell last night or tripped over nothing. That just amazed me. Because it was dark out here. You know, like God was working in the sense of like, look at this love I'm giving all these people. And look at this recovery that's happening for you, Herbert. Not one person tripped over into this fire. That just blew me away. That's recovery to me. And that was just a blessing. You know? And like, when Justin asked me way back in March to come down here to share, it shocked the mess out of me. I had to ask him twice, what'd you say? He said, would you come down to our Unity weekend and share? I said, what? He said, Herb, I would like for you to come down and share. He obviously saw something in Meville and me where I was recovering just a little bit to ask me to come down here and share. That's recovery to me. You know, I'm so used to trying to do it my way. I don't want no help. I don't need no help. I ain't talking to nobody. You know, I'm so used to that. You know, like Mike said last night, you hear different slogans throughout NA. One of the slogans I heard was like, clean time don't equal recovery. Lord, ain't that the truth? Because work, it takes some work applying the steps and writing them down. And like applying them to your life. And then you'll see, you'll feel that genuine recovery. You know, my sponsor and my sponsee brother, I was talking to him about the fourth step because, like, I'm stuck. I ain't even stuck. I ain't even begin. I asked my grand sponsor about it. But you know what? Asking them about it is recovering. That's where it begins. They said, well, ask a couple people around here who've done their four steps and ask them how they started. Now I got to take what I did here this weekend by asking them and opening up and going home and genuinely sitting myself down and starting my four step. However God may be it, just sit down and start writing, Herbert. That's all you got to do. It'll come along. People keep saying, it's going to come along. You'll start writing and writing and writing and writing. But like my grand sponsor mentioned this to me this morning. He said, you are being, what was that word?
Rebellious.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't know what that means. Yeah. I said, what does that mean? And he said, you just don't want to do it. You're just being hard-headed, I guess. I guess that's what that means. You just ain't trying. You just holding on to something that ain't there. Just stop being rebellious, Herbert. That's recovery. He told me that. I comprehend that now. So when I see, I've heard that in meetings and stuff, and I thought, what does that mean? Rebellious. I thought there was a soldier or somebody fighting or something. Rebellious. Well, yeah. Ah, that's me. Well, it is. But that's recovery, though. Because now I can do something in that process where I don't have to be that way, to where when I come to another step, I don't have to be rebellious. When something happens or occurs in my life, I don't have to be rebellious. You know, that's all right. That's recovery. I didn't know that, though. And like last night, Justin asked me to do the midnight marathon meeting last night to share it. And I drank about 15 cups of coffee. And I knew I had to share today, and I was just up and down that bed all night long, outside, up and down that bed. And like today, I shaved my hair, right? Because I don't want y'all to see, like, my hair, it only grows on the side right here. It's bald right here and right here, and I don't want you to see that, and there's some gray spots. And that's why I'm sweating, and this fire has a lot to do with that. And I'm nervous.
All right.
And you know, there was something, there's so much recovery in this unity with my sponsorship family. I done learned a lot, man. I got this sponge brain, and like my grand sponsor said that, like, what you said is meaningless. And I said, well, what did I say again? Pray for the best and hope for the worst or something like that. He said, that ain't right, man. He said, but I used to say that too, though. That's recovery. That man is teaching me how to talk. That's a blessing, man. Because, you know what? I come from where there's so much slang. I didn't know how to speak. I didn't know how to talk. I was in that relapse mode with that talking out the side of my neck stuff. You know, hoping that I could sell an Eskimo an ice cube to get what I wanted. But this program allows you to learn how to talk, walk, have some dreams come true to your life again. That's recovery, man. That is so beautiful. And I want that. I have that desire in me to want your recovery. And you are actually telling me it costs nothing. It don't cost me a dry dime. Sometimes that just don't click in. And then when I get a little bit, you know, like I want to go back and take my, you know, the third step, I want to take my will back. All right, God, I got it. You know? That's relapse mode. I learned the difference from that. To how I'm thinking, what I say to folks, how I present myself, how I'm doing the step work. 3 weeks to a month ago, we had a sponsorship picnic. They just won't let me just go off nowhere. They keep telling me, come on, man, you're going. Come on, Herb, you want to go? We'd love to have you. Now, how can you say no? Come on, Herb. Come on, Herb. Come on, Herb. That's recovery. And see, like, I can tell the newcomer, they're like, come on. Because what you see in me is what they gave to me. It's what you gave to me. It's what I can get back with some recovery. It ain't nothing but just a little bit. You know, I got the basic test out last night, and I said, well, I'm going to read this relapse and recovery. And they ain't mentioned nothing out of it. Because that wasn't God's plan. He said, I want you to tell them your experience of strength and hope about recovery and relapse. See, I heard in a meeting one time, relapse ain't a relapse. You just wanted to get high. Point blank. You know, bluntly. You know, and then I read some stuff out of the basic text where it almost says, if you don't do what's required in this program, you're going to relapse. And when I came around a couple few times, I wasn't doing what was required to do. And now I can see today that, like, damn, yeah, no wonder I went back out there and got my head split open. You know? And then it says out of the basic text, I know this, it says this, if you thoroughly follow this program, you will recover. Ooh. And it ain't too hard. It's about sharing and caring and opening up. And when you're having a problem with something, you know, like share it with your sponsor. Share it with another recovering person. And I get so rebellious about that. I ain't got it down now, huh? Rebellious. Ooh, boy. And like, you know what? The people around here, you know, what I've learned and what I've seen and what's been applied to my life, ain't nobody knocked me, man. Ain't nobody said, Herbert, you just a rotten-ass bastard. Ain't nobody said that. And that's what I always used to hear. And it started from my immediate family to my brother, to my cousins, to my uncles, to the dope man, and repeatedly with the dope man. You know? But it ain't like that today. Some people do see it, like Herb ain't applying some stuff to his life, these steps to my life, and I stay stuck. But you know what? They keep hugging me. They keep saying, keep coming back. They ain't never stop saying, don't come back. When I used to go to the bar, I used to see that big old sign, if you want some money, go ask Helen Wake. I haven't seen none of them signs in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. None of them. You know? And that feels so good when I'm a part of, when I allow you to be a part of my life and I'm not being shunned by it, by no means at all. No means at all. Even when I make the mistake of doing something, you say, keep coming back. Keep trying. You know, my sponsee brother asked me to talk with one of his sponsees about, I just got some visitation rights with my four-year-old. And everybody from the Meadville and Erie area have heard me share about this. But you know what? Like, when I kept coming back and I kept sharing, and people that have been through that and they got visitation rights, they kept telling me, you're going to get the visitation. You're going to get the visitation. And I was so rebellious. Just, you know what? I just couldn't understand that, man. And you know what? I got the visitation rights. And I came to a meeting and I shared about that. And now that I have the visitation, you know, that recovery and that, I got the visitation. When my son comes on Friday, I can't wait till Sunday till he leaves. Kids don't come with instructions, and you know what? I'm not too fond on being a father and doing all this stuff, and I get frustrated. I can honestly say that today. But like, some people could pull me to the side, and they will pull me to the side, and they say, hey, go about it this way. Go about it that way. I got an 11-year-old that just
He just idolized Allen Iverson and these $100 shoes, and it don't do me no good when I go out and I buy myself two pair of I'm obsessed with Nike. I'm obsessed with clothes. My sponsor shared about that. He was obsessed with some stuff that's in his life. But, like, he ain't so much today, and I ain't either, because I know I got one pair of feet, and I can't wear four pair of shoes that cost me $100 a piece, because I got an 11-year-old that look over there and see mine, and then he'll say, well, what about me, Dad? And he means it, too. What about mine? How come I ain't got three? You got four, and I got one? How is that so? You know, and I've learned here in this program that it ain't about the shoes. It's about her. We love you if you ain't got on but some flip flops. That's recovery. That is so beautiful. That is so genuine. I am so in contact with that today. Because, like, for the first year, man, I had to have, like, the shoes, the socks, the drawers, the pants, the shirt, the hat. It all matched. I come to a meeting and you swear I was going to a wedding. You know? Obsessive compulsive behavior. Time and time and over and over and over and over and over again. And you just said, you ain't got to do that. You ain't got to impress us by the way you dress. Just show up. Just come sit down. Just sit down and listen. Give yourself a break. Just sit there and listen to an addict that's in pain that's sharing about something that you may be able to relate to. If you can't relate, then you ain't got to share. If you ain't on the step, you ain't got to share. And that's what you taught me. And man, it's even sinking in more right now as I think about it. Wow. Woo, boy. And it feels so good. It feels so wonderful to relieve that valve of pressure and frustration. And, like, you know, like, I'm not the smartest man on the face of the earth. And sometimes it takes me a little longer. But you already tell me that. You tell me it takes someone a little longer to get this than yourself. And you know what? And when I don't get it, I just get so upset with myself. I just feel like I'm not worthy of it. And you say, that's okay. That's all right. Keep talking about it. Keep sharing. Keep talking. Keep calling. Write some more about it. It'll come to you. That's what you say. And like, I don't want to do all of that. I want it now. Let go of that relapse mode again. But it's just, this has just been wonderful, man. This ride is like, wow. You know, like this year, I went on my first vacation as a father with a family. We went up to Niagara Falls. Whew, that was all right. And I got to share that, like, see, I ain't got no driver's license. And I was driving on the way back and coming through customs. They asked for driver's license, and I didn't know this. Oh, Jesus, I was so scared. I thought I was going to be over in Canada somewhere in jail, and I didn't know if it was going to be a Nazi or whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's that relapse type of behavior. You don't have a driver's license, Herbert. Don't drive. It's just cut and simple. Just that easy. Boy, I want to get behind that wheel, though, because I think I can drive better than my girlfriend. She scared me when I'm on the passenger side. But see, little things like that, that's what will take Herbert back out and start using again. Acting in them old behaviors. And it starts with my thinking process, and it starts with also not showing up at meetings, not sharing, not writing, not doing none of that stuff. And I am real used to that. I like doing that sometimes. I don't want to do nothing. But like when I do something, you know what? I feel so much better. So much better. I can say that real easy, but cannot comprehend it. Just like, I can say that real simply, but cannot comprehend it. Like, wow, man, I said it. Why don't I just do it? What's so difficult about it? And when I don't do it, when I tell you I don't do it, you don't say like, man, there ain't no hope for you. Stay away. I tried hard enough. Just, nuh-uh. You ain't never said that. You say, all right. Go to a meeting. And I can honestly say I make about 6 meetings a week, man. I mean, I'm a meeting maker. When you said that, I said, all right. I sacrificed a job one time because they was going to eliminate the meetings. You know, I want to really, truly thank my sponsor, my grand sponsor, and my sponsee brothers. And, like, the Unity Weekend here and each and every last one of you for allowing a person of my nature to share my experience, strength, and hope. Thank you.
Okay, I would like to introduce the second speaker. Denise is from the Washington One Group of Narcotics Anonymous in the South Hills area.
Come on, Denise.
Yeah, baby.
I'm Denise, I'm an addict. And I am nervous could be. My disease tells me I have nothing to share with you. I just want to comment on our nice fire here in the middle of summer. I'm like over here with hot flashes, you know, to begin with. Now I feel like I'm on fire. And my palms are sweaty, I'm shaking, my mind's all over the place. But you know what? Recovery shows itself when I show up and face my fear and stand in front of you. You know, I wouldn't have done that before. I would have manipulated somebody else to stand here for me. I would have told you, you tell my story or whatever. I wouldn't have stood here and told it myself. Recovery is a miracle. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but I know that through the things I do, it works and it continues to work. Like Herb, I thought, you know what, like I got to read this basic text. What I found in my area lately is we get away from talking about the basic text and we get into talking about each other, you know. And if we spent more time talking about that basic text, we wouldn't have nothing to say about each other. Because the basic text reminds me that it's an uphill journey. Recovery is an uphill journey. If I'm not going up, I'm going down. And you know what? There's a few things that stuck in my mind, and I'll probably, like, throw those out, and then hopefully God will kick in and tell you what he wants you to hear. I kind of go into that day thing, and who knows what will come out. But basically, the first thing I want to say, you know, here I am, like, I'm thinking to myself, I don't have a whole lot of experience with relapse, personally. I was introduced to this program in February of 1996. My clean date's April 27th of 1996. You know what? I don't consider what I did a relapse because you know what? I went on a date, the joint was passed, and I was smoking it. There was no thought process. There was nothing. It was passed to me, I hit it, and I'm like, ooh, whoops. You know, and then I keep going. And then I justified it that I didn't really get hot. So I didn't tell anybody. So I kept going to meetings, came for my 90-day tag. I'm like, ready to go up there. I'm like, I can't do this. So I didn't do it, and I got honest, and you know, my recovery since then has gone on. Really, I don't consider that a relapse. I was still in that mode. I just got hot. The basic text tells me that we have never, never seen anyone who lives the NA program relapse. Period. Never. So in that chapter, it allows me to see everything I need to do in order not to relapse. It talks about getting honest. It talks about going to meetings. It talks about honest sharing. It even talks about self-deceit and all those things that keep us stuck. You're not paving me. No. I'm only
kidding. Oh, we only missed like a word, right?
No, I'm sure that won't matter. No, actually, that's probably the thing that upset me the most. I said, you know, my disease tells me I'm going to get up here and I'm going to say all kinds of stupid things and you're going to have it on tape. Yeah? And you'll remember, oh, that Denise girl way back when. What'd she say? Fortunately, we know that we all continue to grow, and what we believe today may not be what we believe tomorrow. We continue to be more open, more honest, and more willing to work this program. I have no idea where I was at. We're talking about relapse. I have no idea. So we'll just, like, stay here for a minute until it kicks in. Relapse is scary. It's not a joke. I hear a lot of people share in meetings how they're afraid to come back, that we might shun them. Well, hello? It says right there, you cannot save your face and your ass at the same time. It says it in our book. I personally am not going to run up to you and say, you better go, you relapse, or you're a failure, or you're, you know what? Like, it's natural for us to want to use. That's who we are. That's my first response to everything. And what I've learned through NA is I can have that thought, I can work through that, and I don't have to use. I was in a meeting the other day and shared about, just for today, I don't have any reservations. And I believe that. I don't. And when you hear somebody with a lot of time say, well, I don't know what I'd be like if something happened to my child or something like that. Unfortunately, we had the opportunity to walk through with a friend the death of a child. And you know what? Our recovery circle pulled together so strongly and supported this person so much that I don't think she had a moment she could have used, did she? I'm sure she could have. But you know what? When you see the strength that it takes for somebody to walk through something like that and not get high, I have no excuse today. I have no excuse to put anything in me. I know what it does to me. All I'm saying, if I try and put something in me, is that I have control. I can control this. We know, I'm sharing all this stuff around me because that's what I know. And we have a friend that I see occasionally on the street, and she was with us for probably 3 years, and she decided to get high. I guess her beau was getting high, so she's going to get high. And it's, what, 4 years later? And neither one of them's around. And unfortunately, we can determine when we get high. We can't determine when we come back or if we come back. And I think that's where I was at, was talking about how serious relapse is. It's not a joke. It's not a... I actually sometimes wonder if it isn't a device for attention. You know, that if we aren't seeking, you know, I want to be the center. I'm an addict. I'm self-centered. I always want to be the center of attention. But guess what? I'm in a room full of people who are just like me. So guess who's going to get the floor? You know what? We all have our moments. We all take front and center stage once in a while, and we're the topic of conversation, and then we're back on the back wall again, and somebody else is in the hot seat. You know, and we'll all have our opportunity. If you haven't had yours yet, keep coming back. I don't know. The things that come to mind are the things that are said in meetings I go to, and I know that meetings across this country, Narcotics Anonymous meetings, are basically the same. You know, different formats, different people, different... We're all basically the same, and I know it happens everywhere, so we tend to focus on what happens around us. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to get out and about and to know some different people from some different areas, that my horizons are broadened by that, and I don't have to focus on the negative that goes on around me, because you know what, I get what I focus on, and today I choose to focus on the positive. And the best way that I can tell another addict not to relapse is, first of all, don't put it in your hand, and it can't get in you. Do what people do that aren't getting high. So if that means following on their foottails, going to every meeting they go to, sitting on their side porch, sitting in their lawn chairs, you know, following them to church or doing yard work or whatever, that's what it takes. Loneliness, anger, desperation, all that stuff has never happened to me in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. It happens, but I don't stay angry for long because I got people who are loving and caring around me and remind me that this is about life or death. You know, it's so much more important than who said what, who did what, who doesn't like me, who, you know, all that's irrelevant. And I think if they stepped out a little bit and attended these kind of unity things, spiritual retreats, maybe put in some work. I was thinking about that when I was driving up here. The work that goes into putting something like this on is amazing. And the fact that a group of addicts can get together and do that and not kill each other is amazing also. And it just shows me that this program works. And if I'm bored and, like, I was that person I first got here and I whined and I cried, what do you people do? This sucks. Yeah. You know, you're boring, you know, all that stuff. But you know what? I got involved. And I think my first year or my year and a half or something, I got involved with the convention. And I'll tell you what, it takes a lot of time. You don't have a whole lot of time for other stuff. You're going to meetings on a daily basis, calling addicts, reading the basic text, making phone calls, and participating in some kind of service. I guarantee you'll go to bed at night tired. You know, it's all in our choices. I can choose to be alone at any point in time. I can talk myself into, I don't want to go to the meeting tonight. I can talk myself into not going to meeting for a week, you know. But the further I'm away from meetings, the further I am away from recovery. I don't care. Recovery don't happen on your couch. The most important recovery that happens for me on a daily basis is between me and my friends, not necessarily my sponsor, just recovering addicts, because we talk about life, and we talk about feelings, and we talk about what's going on. And today I can listen. I may not do such a good job all the time, but I can listen today. I don't have to be the focus. I don't have to say, well, what about me? What about me? You know? I can listen to what's going on in your life. And that's a miracle. Narcotics Anonymous gives me all the tools I need to stay clean. Whether I choose to use them or not is my choice. And I have to take responsibility for myself today. And I choose recovery. I do. On a daily basis, I choose recovery. I have my moments. I was laughing. Herb was sharing about his clothes and his obsessive compulsive behavior. I said, you want to call my partner? Yeah? It's just the way it goes. We're faced with that on a daily basis. And what I learned from the basic text is I have a whole lot of relapse stuff that goes on before I pick up the drug. The drug is the last thing I pick up. The emotional, spiritual relapse that happens in me happens a lot. Does that mean I pick up? No, I don't. Just for today, I have not found a reason to pick up. And I'd like to say it gets easier with time, like, you know, like all of a sudden, well, thoughts don't come as often. And that's probably true, but they still do come. But I've learned ways and means to combat that. And that's what this is. Recovery is combating my disease on a daily basis. Because it doesn't go away. I'm never recovered. I'd like to think I am sometimes. But I'm not. And I have to remember that. And I think the most important thing about that is my recovery family knows that. My real family doesn't know that. They don't understand that. I'm dealing with some issues in my life. And part of them is my family. And you know what? I'm just sick and tired of being used. I had a conversation with my mom, and a conversation always starts out with, I just called to see how you were doing. Well, you know what? My mom's never called me just to see how I'm doing. She always has an ulterior motive. Well, my sister has five small children. She's married to a man who owns his own business. They live in a $300,000 house with a pool. They've been dated in high school. Never had any problems with addiction other than maybe her addiction to wanting to be loved. Because anybody who wants five kids has some kind of addiction. But you know what? She's the princess in my family. And you know what? My mom doesn't understand that I'm not her. And she thinks because I don't use drugs anymore that I should be like her. And I'm not her. And it causes some stress in my life, even being in recovery for a long time. And she tends to schedule my weekend. So this weekend we had football game, cheerleading, we had a birthday party, and then tomorrow my sister's twins turn two. So we have a big party tomorrow. So they have my weekend all scheduled, and when I called and I said, I'm Karen today and I'm not going to be able to make it, the tone in her voice changed. And little does she know that she would rather see me come here and speak than to visit me in hospitals and institutions. And she doesn't get that reality. Fortunately and unfortunately, I didn't share a past like her. My disease did not take me to jail. It should have. There was many times that I want to say it's a God thing because, you know, I stood in front of police officers with, like, ounces down my pants. I've been in places that I would never, ever imagine I would ever be. I lived in places I never imagined I would be. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that my family just doesn't understand that. Maybe if I had a past, more institutionalized, things like that, she would understand better. But you know what? As addicts, our pain is different. You know, not everybody, you know what, I think that's what they say when they say focus on the similarities and not the differences. Because when I got here, I thought, oh, I never did that. I never did that. And you know what? The day I think I'm better than anyone that sits in these chairs, my relapse mode has already started. It's already on its way because you know what? I'm just the same. And all those yets that I have in my bag, if I choose to put a drug in me, that is where I'm going. It is guaranteed. I tell my brother this all the time. You're guaranteed. Jails, institutions, and death. You know, he's been to jails, he's been to institutions, and he's been dead once. Fortunately for him, at the accident scene, they revived him. He watched his friend die in that accident. He watched my father go to prison for 3 years or something. And today, he's still using. It didn't faze him. We never know what somebody else's bottom may be. But you know what? I'm not willing to gamble with mine today. I don't want to see where I could go. I like to hear. The majority of the time, I love it here. 90% of the time. And you know what? When I don't like it here, I need to face my fear, deal with my stuff, and move on. When I came to recovery, they did not tell me it was going to be a bed of roses. They didn't tell me it was going to be pretty. I was going to live in a nice house, drive a nice car. They didn't tell me none of that. They told me I'd have the freedom from active addiction. And you know what? When I got here, I really didn't know what that meant. Because I share so many times, the only day I didn't use was the day I couldn't get out of bed. I never had to struggle with that fact of periods of abstinence, like wondering, am I really an addict? Like, I'm not really using for a couple weeks. I never had that opportunity. You know what? I used every day, and it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Since, you know what? I was 13 or 14, and you know what? If everything they say is true, I'm about 18, and I feel about 18, you know? I don't know a whole lot, but I keep coming back. I keep watching, listening, learning, trying to have an open mind. And I've learned so much here. Intimate relationships, you talk about intimate relationships, you know what? Intimate relationships started with my friends. I learned how to talk to them. When I was out there using, if I didn't like what you had to say or like what you had on, whatever, you were gone without a second thought. I didn't care. I would get somebody else to replace you. You know, you can find a lot of people who want to taste the drug like you do. You know? And now it matters to me. My friendships are precious to me today. I love my Virginia. I do. You know why? I wouldn't be here without Virginia. I know that today. First of all, God brought me to this program. He gave me Virginia. And I had a choice. I had a choice to invest in a relationship, in a friendship. And we struggled. We've had our moments. I think I wanted to kill her because she told me as a secretary I had to open up a meeting when I didn't want to open it up. And you know what? Like, we got over it. Like, I pouted and stomped and, you know, carried on. And what I realized today is that that's what relationships are about. If you get along all the time and, like, you never go through any hard times, you might want to look into the fact that you're living on the surface. Because, you know what, like, life isn't always peachy. We have things. What is real friendship? It's knowing everything about you and loving you anyway. And I learned how to do that first. I couldn't even attempt intimate relationships with a male until I had that foundation. And you know what, I continue to share that with newcomers, that relationship thing. And you know what? They never listen. We keep talking, they never listen. And that's okay, too. You know, I had to learn the hard way. So, you know, hopefully they learn the hard way. And they don't die doing it. Because you know what? I'm here to tell you, some people in my area would, like, want to argue with me. But the first sentence in recovery and relapse is, some people think that this is all about not using drugs. And it's not. It's not. It's drugs are just a symptom of my disease. The problem is me. And I have a disease of addiction. I always have that disease. What I choose to do about that is my choice. It also talks about people being here for years and being in self-denial and not being able to experience complete recovery. And you know what? Today I have a strong yearning in my heart of hearts to experience complete recovery. And I know that it's just like heaven for me. It's a goal. It's not necessarily a destination. Because I know that this is a journey. I'm on a journey. And this is the journey that God's chosen for me. You know what? Like, I have no choice. I always say that when people, if you show up at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, you are not there by mistake. And if you think you are, just keep coming back. And you'll find out that you're not. And I think it's hilarious that somebody could, well, I shouldn't say that. We can justify anything. We can rationalize anything. And I shouldn't be amazed at the small amount of people that stick around. I think I shared not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, and I think I stood around the meeting, and it was my first meeting. It's my home group still. Through all the trials and tribulations, it's still my home group. I don't choose to run today. I choose to stick it out and grow. And I looked around that room, and 5 years ago when I walked in that room or whatever, I saw one person in that room that was there when I got there. That's sad. All those addicts, you know what? They ain't out having a field day. They are not on vacations and sailing the world and, you know, they're not doing that. Because we see them come back. We see them come back into the room and say, I stopped going to meetings. And they eventually use. Sometimes it takes a year, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it takes a day. But I know for myself, there was one point in my active addiction that they started having drug testing at work. And I told myself, okay, time to quit. I quit everything. I quit everything but alcohol, and I thought I was good, you know. Now, I can drink. I can drink like a fish. And I did a real good job at that. And the day I got laid off, I was smoking weed, snorting lines, and out till 6 in the morning. And I thought that I had that under control. I was proud of myself because I wasn't using drugs. But I just want to talk a little bit about things I use today. Because you know what? My addiction takes many forms. It can be in my relationships. It can be in shopping. It can be in spending. It can be in eating. It can be in anything. And I have to remember that because, you know what, I got a good laugh out of what Herb said. You know what, I am obsessive and compulsive, and my friends will speak for me. If I can't find something in my house, I turn the whole entire house upside down because I know it's there. I can't walk away till I got it in my hands. And those are destructive patterns for me, and I continue to use those. I continue to focus on my partner and not on myself. I choose to live in la-la land instead of in reality. And reality for me today is, you know what? This is what I need to do on a daily basis. I know what the consequences are if I don't. And what comes to mind is that word rebellious. I can be rebellious or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can either choose the path and walk the walk, or I can choose not to and feel the pain. And the majority of the days, I choose to walk the walk, but, you know, I have my moments. I don't know. God's blessed me here, and he continues to bless me. And for me to say no and shut the door in his face is just, like, ludicrous to me today. Just for today. You know, tomorrow something can happen in my life where I'm looking at that. Do I use, do I not use? Do I use, do I not use? You know? But by God's grace, that won't happen. And I have practiced using my tools enough that when the time comes that I really need to use them, that I can use them. Because if I'm to relapse, I have to choose not to use my tools. I have to choose to isolate. I have to choose old behaviors. I have to go through all that before I pick up. So the red flags are there for me today. And I'm just glad that they are. And I'm glad that I don't fantasize about that lifestyle anymore. That lifestyle really never gave me anything. Nothing. I thought it did. I thought I was, like, you know, going places, doing things, you know. And I wasn't. And recovery has taken me more places than anything. And you know what? I don't know if I shared anything for you, but you know what? In my heart of hearts, I feel good. I feel good. Recovery is good to me, and it can be good to you, too. You know what? That surrender thing, that's what it's about. Surrender to the fact that this is where you need to be. The similarities are here. The love and understanding that you're looking for, that you swear you can't get anywhere, is here.
Mm-hmm.
It is here. You will get what you look for. So if you're caught up in some shit, start looking at your motives. Find out why you're here. Find out what will keep you here. You know what? Keep looking. If you haven't found it yet, keep looking. It's here. And you know what? I know God is here today, and I can feel his presence because you know what? I sat there on that bench over there scared shitless saying I didn't have nothing to say. And for half an hour or whatever, I had a lot to say. Don't know if it made any sense or not, but I had a lot to say. And that's how it works because this is not of a power of myself. Because if it was up to me, I'd be telling you how great I am.
Mm.
And I'm not today. I truly am not. And I know that only through this program. Only through this program. And you know what? I'm blessed to share my time with you guys today. And I will thank my God and my prayer tonight for that. That's it.
Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to thank the Unity Retreat for inviting me to share at this time. I'd also like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope. Both of you did a wonderful job. I'm really thankful for both of you today. Can we please have a reading of Just for Today?